It is good to see everybody this morning, and I do know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship together, and we are glad that you're here this morning. The only announcement that I am aware of is that we do continue to accept donations for UMCOR for the hurricane relief, and if you wish to donate to that, please make your check out to the church and write UMCOR or hurricane relief on there, and we'll be sure that it gets to the proper place. Are there any announcements that should be made, however, this morning that were not? If not, it is a joy that the Lord has called us together, so let us come now and worship His most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, indeed we thank you that you are with us. You've been with us in every step and breath that we have taken this week, and you meet us here now in a most special way. So our hearts and minds are open. We pray that you might receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we would receive that which you would communicate to us. As we proceed, we pray that this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our litany of praise is the song most often associated with the United Methodists, "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Let's us join together. "Oh for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise,
the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of thy grace.
My gracious Master and my Lord, assist me to proclaim,
to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ.
Ye blind behold your Savior come, and lead ye lame for joy.
He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free.
His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availeth me."
And as we go to prayer this morning, as always, we have our prayer list that's in our bulletin. We do want to remember in a special way this morning Nancy Warren. She is at home recovering from her surgery last week. And so, do remember Nancy as she recuperates. And of course, we remember the family and friends of Terry Burnett, who passed away Friday morning. Are there joys or concerns that should be expressed that were not? If not, let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, thank you. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for being with us this past week. Thank you for the good times that we enjoyed. Thank you for your strength when we face difficulties. Lord, thank you for loving us when we have served you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thank you that you still love us, though perhaps we're disappointed in those times when we were not so dedicated to you. Thank you for loving us in those times when our light shone brightly. And thank you for loving us when we weren't our best. In short, Lord, thank you for who you are. The God of love, God of faithfulness, God of forgiveness, God of callings, whose love is not dependent upon our faithfulness, yet your faithfulness motivates us to desire to love you and to serve you more. Because we know that you have already loved us. You have already given everything for us. You have already loved us with all you have. So we are not seeking to earn your love, but seeking to be the children, honoring their Father who has first loved them. And so, Lord, as we continue in our thoughts and prayers this morning, you know what's upon each heart this day. You know those places in our lives where we may be confused and we need your guidance. We know you will be faithful. Give us the calmness of heart and mind, emotion and soul to recognize that guidance. There are places where we seek your forgiveness, and we are so thankful this morning that you are even more eager to forgive us than we are to seek to be forgiven. And we pray that as we receive your forgiveness, that we receive it not in the sense that we are seeking to escape consequences, but we receive your forgiveness in that we desire for you to enable us to leave that sin behind and be more your disciple today than we were yesterday. Gracious Lord, there are people in situations upon our hearts and minds whose healing we desire. Some are recently diagnosed, some are recovering from surgery, some have dealt with their illnesses for quite some time. We pray your healing touch according to your will and your wisdom to be upon each one. And we pray particularly for this family who grieves this morning. And gracious Lord, we will never forget that worshiping you in the manner in which we are this morning, the freedom to be here, the freedom not to be here, the freedom to be in this location, the freedom to be in another, is a privilege and a responsibility. And we are thankful. And we remember those who are taking on that ultimate responsibility in civilian and military roles to stand in the gap protecting us. We pray your protection upon those who protect us, your healing upon the wounded, the visible and the invisible wounds, and your peace upon the families whose loved one gave it all. And Lord, we thank you for the family of God that gathers, worships, and serves through Walker. We pray that every time we gather, we draw closer to you and to each other. We pray that as you have blessed us, we will be a blessing to this community and even the world. And we pray that we are reminded that even when we leave these grounds, we are still your church. And we pray that we will be reminded of your presence, that we know that will be with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And bring us back that we may worship you and encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Let us stand as we offer our praise and thanks to God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
And would you bow for our prayer of thanksgiving for our tithes and offerings? Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, we can give to you because you first lavished your love and gifts upon us. So we bring back a portion of those financial gifts that you have bestowed upon us, asking your blessings to continue upon each gift and each giver, and that you would guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted to you will be used to further your kingdom in this community and even throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Scripture lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are some passages that are in the Bible that I wish were not there. Their meaning is clear, but living them is hard. One of the main subjects that on which Jesus is crystal clear, but the living is difficult, is forgiveness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Mark 11, 25, Jesus says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive it, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you." In Luke 17, 3 and 4, Jesus says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." Doesn't take a theologian to figure out what Jesus means, does it? Jesus plainly says over and over, if we expect God to forgive us, we must forgive each other. Jesus does not present it as an option, but that still doesn't make it easy. You see, forgiveness is serious business. Forgiveness takes seriously the offender, it takes seriously the offense, and it takes seriously the offended. Old cliche types of relationship mending where somebody says, "I'm sorry," and the other person being apologized to says something like, "It's okay, it was nothing." That's not the type of forgiveness Jesus is talking about here. It's important. You know, we all get our wires crossed every once in a while. It's important to, when we recognize that, to acknowledge that, to apologize for that, and move on. Those things happen. But the type of forgiveness Jesus is talking about is serious business. If forgiveness needs to occur, it means there has been a serious breach in a relationship. Someone has been wronged, and that wrong has caused damage. So as we consider forgiveness this morning, I am acutely aware of the hurt and the anger that occurs in both parties. I don't take lightly the effort that it takes to truly forgive another. This forgiveness issue is something that most all of us contend with. So how do we forgive those who have sinned against us? Well, the first step is consider our debt to God. In this morning's passage, Jesus tells the story of a man who owed his king 10,000 talents. Now, to gather some perspective on what we're talking about, the debt that was owed, the amount of tax collected by King Herod from the entire territory of that time was 900 talents a year. 10,000 talents would be over 11 years tax liability for the entire territory. There is no way one person could ever repay such a tremendous debt. In this passage, when the debtor sought leniency, the king completely canceled the debt. One lady who was a Sunday school teacher talked about teaching a lesson on Christian behavior, and she asked the little boy in the class, said, "Now, Billy, tell me what we must do before we can expect to be forgiven of our sins." And without hesitation, Billy said, "First, we got to sin." Takes a minute, don't it? My guess is we all have that one covered. Romans 3:23 reminds us that we have all sinned and we all fall short of God's glory. Now, the intention of this message this morning is not to put anybody on a guilt trip, but I am going to challenge you to think about your debt to God. Think about it a moment. If every bad or hurting thought, if we listed, if you took a list and you were able to remember them, if you listed every bad or hurting thought you ever had, and then you listed every wrong act you've ever committed, and then if you went on to add to that list every act that you've ever committed, even if it might have been a good thing in and of itself, came from less than pure motives, is there any way you could make amends? I couldn't. Further consider that Jesus died on the cross as the punishment for that sin. How do you pay that debt off? It's staggering to attempt to contemplate our debt to God. So first of all, when we're called to forgive another person, first thing is, consider what God has already forgiven in us. When we consider the third character in the story, we find the fellow servant who owns the first servant 100 denarii, which is basically wages for a day laborer. So if we take that and try to put it somewhat in today's perspective, if we say that if we estimate that today's rate is $15 per hour, 100 days' wages before taxes would come out to be about $12,000. Now, for most of us, $12,000 is not pocket change. And for many of us, if somebody owed us $12,000, it would infringe on our cash flow. So when the story of the fellow servant who is owed 100 denarii, the story is not saying that it was pocket change that was owed to the fellow slave. The other person's debt was fairly substantial. So hence, when Jesus commands us to forgive each other, Jesus knows that many times we're talking major stuff. Jesus knows that we're talking about much more than simply getting wires crossed. Jesus knows we're talking major stuff. Jesus knows that some in this congregation have suffered some major wrongs at the hands of family, at the hands of friends. Yes, even fellow church members, even fellow Christians. And Jesus does not make light of that. But human nature, being what it is, does not lean naturally toward forgiving. Most of us are probably more akin to Anthony's brother in the children's book, I'll Fix Anthony. And I'll read just a portion of it here, quote, Anthony's older brother is not real nice to him. Anthony, in considering his situation, says, my brother Anthony can read books now, but won't read any books to me. He plays checkers with Bruce from school, but when I want to play, he tells me, go away or I'll clobber you. I let him wear my Snoopy sweatshirt, but he never lets me borrow his sword. Mother says deep down in his heart, Anthony loves me. Anthony says deep down in his heart, he thinks I stink. Mother says deep down in his heart, where he doesn't even know it, Anthony loves me. Anthony says deep down in his heart, he still thinks I stink. When I'm six, I'll fix Anthony. When I'm six, I'll float. But Anthony will sink to the bottom. When I dive off the board, I'll dive off the board, but Anthony will change his mind. I'll breathe in and out when I should, but Anthony will only go glug, glug. When I'm six, my teeth will fall out, and I'll put them under the bed, and the tooth fairy will take them away and leave money. Anthony's teeth won't fall out. He'll wiggle and wiggle them, but they won't fall out. I might sell him one of my teeth, but I might not. Anthony has chased me out of the room, out of the playroom. He says I stink. He says he's going to clobber me. I have to run now, but I won't have to run when I'm six. When I'm six, I'll fix Anthony. End quote. Some folks are hard to love. Some folks are even harder to forgive. And dare I say it? Some folks don't deserve our forgiving. Let's just face it. They don't deserve it. And rather than seeking to forgive them, we dream about how we will get them, or if we're not going to get them, how God will eventually get them. I know I have more than once, even as a grown man and a member of clergy, have dealt with the I'll get Anthony feelings. Yet as the morning's passage pointed out so vividly, even if the debt owed to me by the Anthonys of my life were substantial, they pale in comparison to what I owe Jesus Christ. I'm striving to become less like Anthony's little brother and more like the little girl who became confused when she was trying to pray the Lord's Prayer. And she, in that prayer, she said, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Has somebody put trash in your basket? Perhaps we'll come to the place where we can forgive them when we remember it's the same God who forgives all of our trash. Particularly the trash that I have put in somebody else's basket. It does not suit well at all times. But the Heavenly Father who loves us and desires to forgive us is the same Heavenly Father who desires and loves to forgive the person who put trash in our basket. But there are some folks we just do not want to forgive. Frankly, we don't think they deserve it, and even worse, they do not even realize they sinned against us. Yet Jesus died for them every bit as much as He died for us. We feel that they do not deserve our forgiveness. They deserve whatever negatives would come to them. But Jesus loves them as much as He loves me. In my humanity, I can't fulfill Jesus' command to forgive, and hence my forgiveness can be called into question. Then Jesus reminds me, He loves us both. He died for us both. Jesus offers grace to both of us. And hence, through the strength of Jesus, we can forgive and be assured of our forgiveness. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you that we can be honest with you. Thank you that we can be honest and admit to you that there are some people that just, it's hard to forgive them, Lord. The hurt is deep. The hurt is real. And they don't even realize what they did. Lord, thank you that we can be honest, that it's aggravating sometimes that somebody does something and then they say, I'm sorry, and then they turn around and do it again, and then they come back and say, I'm sorry, and it just keeps going on and on and on as if they never can learn, but you call us to keep forgiving. Lord, in our humanity, we can't fulfill your command. Our emotions are too raw. Our emotions are too deep. Our senses of justice overwhelm us. But Lord, in those times when I stop and pause and remember the debt that I owe you, the debt the other owes me, regardless of how large, becomes so small. So gracious Lord, I just pray that for myself and anyone else in this room that would agree with the sentiments of this prayer, that you would enable us to first realize what you have done for us, to realize that you died for all. And so that even if in our own strength we are not able to forgive, through your strength and power, we can forgive others as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for the benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. And the ushers will escort you out.